This morning, let's begin our time by reading the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Starting at verse number 16. Matthew 28, starting at verse number 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." God of all nations, may we hear your call to follow anew today. May your voice be ever loud and clear while the noise of distractions grow faint. Fill us anew as we seek to follow all your ways. Bless us as we live among growing challenges. And stir us as we endeavor to share your gift with the entire world. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we began a new preaching series that focuses on values. The values we discuss are values that over time, our church, the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ, has demonstrated to be core to our expression of faith. Our belief in God is sure, it's firm, yet our expression of that faith as played out in our mission and our vision might differ from another church, and that's okay. Our values represent what we see as significant and important as members of this body. You may find yourselves going to like a local school, elementary school, and you may see on their wall, "This is what we value here." And then you go to another school and you see that this is what we value here. This is not to knock their values, and those values are not to knock their values, but as a school community, they've come to understand and embrace that these are the values that best represent us. So what I'm simply presenting over the next several weeks is some thoughts on some values that best represent us. Last week, we shared the value of surrendering. We value surrendering and giving our lives to God. And one of the primary ways to start or to initiate this idea of surrendering is baptism. We talked about baptism last week. I asked you all to think about your own baptisms if you've been baptized in the past, to renew that vow of baptism. I also called for those who haven't been baptized to seriously consider professing faith in Jesus and taking that step of surrender in baptism. This morning, we want to continue to journey through our values. And today, let's consider the value of discipleship. Discipleship. How many of y'all remember playing games before there were video games? I'm old enough and got enough gray hair where I can start saying that now. Like I'm proud of myself. I'm growing up. I'm maturing. I remember we didn't have a video game system, but I had a lot of friends, and so we would go outside and we would just play games outside. Like the game It. Y'all know that game, right? You're it. And you were trying your hardest not to be it. And you would run around and you'd run and you'd juke and you'd do some moves and everything to avoid being it. Now, you know, it has a more formal name called tag, but that just doesn't have the punch that it is, because, you know, the way it starts out of nowhere too. You don't discuss, "Hey y'all, let's get together at 3 o'clock and play it." No, we're outside, we're hanging around, and just all of a sudden you just go, "You're it," and then you just start playing for 2 hours. Hey, y'all remember doing that? You know they actually have a world professional tag championship? Do y'all know that? Like, it's on ESPN. I mean, they run. Anyway, I'm getting off point here. There's another game we used to play. Simon Says. How many of y'all remember Simon Says? Simon Says. Dude, let's see if y'all know how to play. Y'all remember? Okay. Simon Says, put your hands on your head. Simon says, put your hands on your belly. Now start rubbing, start rubbing. Okay. All right. Put your hands back on your head and then raise them up high. Oh, y'all good at this game. Simon says is really just another form of the game. Follow the leader, right? And again, follow the leader. You don't really like meet up or make plans to play football. You just start playing. Say, I'm the leader. And you just start doing things. You walk, you know, walk like this. I don't know, is that a duck? Or walk, you know, walking like this or crawling your knees. And everyone else follows. And you just play these games forever. You know, there are child psychologists and child experts that agree that there are so many benefits to children playing follow the leader. They report that this game helps to teach children concentration on instructions. Playing the game helps them to learn what it means to follow directions. Playing the game also helps the one who is leading, helping them to think and be creative as they must come up with instructions and actions for people to follow. I want to talk about following this morning. I believe at the heart of discipleship is following. There's a reason you hear me say probably more than you hear me say Christian. You hear me say followers of Jesus. Because there is something baked into that phrase and that expression. Following is an important. It has become my preferred phrase because following is a major call scattered throughout the Bible. Think back to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. The first interaction God has with Abraham is, hey, you, Abram, that was his name before it became Abraham. Abram, follow me to the places I will show you, and I will bless you and make you a great nation. Following. The call to follow is repeated throughout the ministry of Jesus. Some say it started when Jesus called the first men who would become his apostles. I've read a text to you where Jesus is talking to some of these apostles that he had first called. The first calling of these apostles, they would become to known as apostles. Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse number 18. As he, talking about Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. And as you read throughout the Gospels, you see more stories and his description of people who were followers or they followed Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, just a few verses, the next verse after the calling of James and John, Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demonics, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. More crowds follow him, the gospel reports. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 1. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. Now, one could argue that these crowds followed Jesus because he was popular. He was a rock star. He was doing these miraculous acts. He was a miracle worker. But still, there were more calls to individual folks that followed him in response to his call. And it represented a more detailed and intimate of following, like the call of Matthew in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he got up and followed him. There is a premium placed on following and calling in the Gospels. And those who followed, they were called disciples. The word disciple you can find in the New Testament over 260 times, just short of 300 times. 230 of those mentions are in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Another 30 in the book of Acts. Many call the book of Acts the fifth gospel. It makes sense that you're going to see the word disciple. You only see the word Christian three times in the New Testament. Disciple was the word. Acts 11:26. They were first called Christians. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch because disciple was the preferred term. Disciple meant to like what's included in this understanding of disciple is that there is a teacher and that there is a student, and the student's role is to empty themselves of all that they are and to fill themselves up with the teachings of their rabbi, their teacher. And that's what we are as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus. We empty ourselves and we fill ourselves up with Jesus. We'll talk a whole lot more about that in just a second. Following is the direct call to all of us. Following is what is meant by a discipleship. The call to become his disciples is again at the heart of the gospel. The call to follow Jesus and to learn from Jesus and to mimic Jesus. That is to do what Jesus does. That is all captured in the biblical text. And an overwhelming theme in the gospels and New Testament is this idea of imitating, following, being taught by Jesus. Story after story reveal that Jesus' intent is intent on offering a place for all, and he does this by calling men and women to follow. And that's called discipleship. As such, as Jesus prepares to leave this earth, he looks at his disciples on this mountain. And these disciples were those he had spent time with teaching and developing and showing them how to live. He has final words for them. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you to the end of the age." And so the assignment was given to go and teach people to give their lives to Jesus and to baptize them or surrender. And then teach them after they become disciples, teach them everything and develop them. That's discipleship. Discipleship is never ending. And as a church, it is our commitment to make disciples and to grow disciples and to grow those disciples so that they will make disciples. That is, we desire everyone who is part of the church. We want you to be positioned for growth so that you might be used by God in the growth of others. That is discipleship. And we as a church, as a body, we value discipleship. In practical terms, our church is doing its best to consider and implement ways to make disciples. We serve in such a way as to bring attention to Jesus Christ. We are positioned to offer anyone who is seeking the opportunity to learn more about Jesus. That is why we encourage everyone to invite your friends and your neighbors and family to our worship experience or your small group or to your Bible studies. Exposure to our way of life is a way to offer the call to follow Jesus. Offer that call to others. Others may need one-on-one time to study the gospel and learn more about Jesus. And we want everyone to know that opportunity is there. If you have a friend that's asking you to study, to sit down with them to talk about Jesus, say yes. Sit down with them and share with them the story of God, the story of Jesus. If you need help with that, call me. Call one of the shepherds. Call someone to walk alongside you to sit down and share the story of Jesus. For others, being introduced to Jesus will come through our commitment to serve and meet the multitude of needs that they have, making disciples. But that's not all. Our church is intent on growing and maturing disciples. That is, we are doing our best to consider and implement ways for disciples to grow in their walk with Jesus. This is why we encourage participation in Bible studies, a small group, and participation with our church assembly when we meet for worship and fellowship and other service activities. We don't encourage this participation so that we can receive some participation badge. No. We encourage this because it helps us to grow as disciples. One of the great joys that I have found in my life in the body of Christ is serving with other people, spending time in Bible classes and Bible studies and small groups with other people, worshiping with other people. We grow as followers of Jesus when we participate in these activities. Your church leaders, shepherds, myself, are in constant prayer and conversation regarding ways to help all of us grow and to become mature disciples. And this is why we care so much about youth discipleship. It's why some dedicated adults take time to develop curriculum and lessons to teach our children. Since the pandemic, we've had to implement some adjustments and we're starting to come back to pre-pandemic numbers and the ability and opportunity to have more classes. Some of you know this, and many of you don't know that we've restarted our adult classes. We actually restarted our adult classes several months ago. And it's been a hybrid, you know, in person and some joining online. We just started a new class. We're watching the TV series, The Chosen. Everyone is welcome to watch The Chosen, season 1, episode 3 for next week, and come then and share in time of a Bible study and discussion with both adults and teens. But running concurrently at that time is a class for smaller children. You might be thinking, oh, I can't come. I have small kids. Or I want to invite this family. They've got small kids. Invite them. We have something for small kids. We want to develop this so that everyone is in this process of discipleship from toddler to adult to more mature adult. So at 9:30 every week, there are classes for all of us to participate in, young kids, teenagers, and adults. We continue to see some growth in the discipleship of teenagers. Might be a good time to remind everyone that last year we introduced the Carl and Sharon Ward Character Scholarship. If you go to our website and go to the Ministries tab and scroll down under the Education tab, you can find this page and you can read more about the Carl and Sharon Ward Scholarship. This is due to the generosity of a donor who is intent on making sure that young people, when they graduate high school, can get the equivalent of $22,000, which is about 2 years of college at Columbus State Community College, $22,000 cost of college, or the cost of about 24 eggs. If kids participate in some prescribed activities, and you can go to the website here and read the PDF document, you can receive money for college. There are no income requirements. There are no other requirements but to just simply be a part of what's going on here. This is a program that's designed to bless others with the gift of generosity. We're going to talk about generosity in a few weeks. But it's also done so that, man, we can have an opportunity to help some kids walking in some positive ways to build some character, to show them the way of Jesus. And so if you need more information about that, you can come see me and talk about that. You can see Bill Johnson and talk about that. You can see my wife. My wife's going to be sending out some correspondence here about that shortly. But we're doing this because we want to see teens disciple. Our investment in discipleship can be seen in the hiring of a young adult minister. We hired Brother Antoine Booker back in July, and we did that because we saw that we need to invest time, energy, and money into the discipleship of young adults. And that's why we took that bold step and did that. We need to pray for Antoine and his work and what he's doing, not only to grow that segment of our body, but also to activate them to be disciples that are making disciples. Our investment in discipleship can also be seen in the offering of resources for individuals and groups to grow through Bible education and study. One resource I want to remind everyone that is available to everyone that's a member here, everyone who's listening to my voice, you can take part in this, is Right Now Media. Right Now Media, some call the Netflix of Bible studies. There's over 10,000, I think the number now is like 20 or 30,000 different Bible studies on Right Now Media. Years ago, I sent out an access code to members so that you could have access to the library. If you don't have that, contact me, give me your email address, and I will send you an invitation, and you will have immediate access to all of these Bible studies. For your personal study, if you want to have a study with some friends at work, if you want to have a study at your house for your neighborhood, you can use this. I think on Thursdays, the ladies' class, they're using the Right Now media study. That's a resource that's available to everyone. Our investment in discipleship can be seen in our offering of whatever is needed for whomever at whichever point one is at in their discipleship journey. For the new disciple, know that we are here to help guide you and steer you in the right direction. For those of you who are seeking to reacquaint yourselves in your life with God, your relationship with God, we are here to steer you, help you, give you whatever you need to grow. For those who are mature disciples, we are here to help you and help steer you and give you whatever you need that will position you for growth as a disciple. And this is most important, this is for the mature disciples. We want you to be in the life of another disciple to help mentor and grow that disciple. Youth ministry, somebody defined youth ministry as this. Youth ministry is an excuse to get mature disciples to hang out with less mature disciples. That's what youth ministry is. It's not just about, you know, hiring a youth minister to go do all the work. It's about hopefully a youth minister developing something that's going to get mature disciples hanging out with less mature disciples so that those less mature disciples will grow into mature disciples. And then when they become mature disciples, what will they do? They'll get into the lives of less mature disciples, and they will mentor them to become mature disciples. Do you see that cycle? You see what Jesus is calling us to do? Not just baptize them and let them go, but baptize, develop mature disciples. We value discipleship, and we are committed to the work associated with discipleship. And as disciples, we are not ignorant of the high call and the cost of discipleship. So let me end by reading Mark chapter 8. You can read this same passage almost verbatim in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24. Mark chapter 8, verse number 34, Jesus is talking. He says, he called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if any want to become my followers, disciples, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in his glory of his Father with the holy angels. It's a paradox, which means it doesn't match, you know, like if you want to live, you have to die. This isn't about programs. This isn't about youth ministry, young adult ministry. This isn't about right now media. This isn't about character scholarships. It's a life and death conversation I'm having with you right now. If you want to live, you have to die. It's going back to that picture of discipleship, which is taking your cup that's full of all that you know and all the ways that you deal with situations and all the responses that you, in the men's class yesterday, we were talking about like our hearts and our attitudes and this loving others thing. And man, it's so hard to love others you don't like. It's so hard to love that person that's riding on your tail or that person driving in front of you that's driving too slow. It's hard to love people who are difficult. It's hard to love people. And we've devised some ways to deal with those people. That's what's in our cup, church. To become a disciple of Jesus is to pour our cup out and to say, Jesus, fill us with who you are. And when we start thinking in those terms, then we begin to say, oh, that's how I love the person in front of me. I let the Holy Spirit live in me. And I demonstrate patience. Or that's how I deal with the person that's riding on my tail. I develop or understand that the Holy Spirit is living in me, and I develop long suffering. That's what it means to die. And if you want to live, you're going to have to die. And that's what's holding many of us back from becoming full disciples of Jesus. We're unwilling to die. The invitation today, as last week was the invitation to surrender, to renew your vow at baptism. Maybe in a similar way for those of you who are disciples, you've already been baptized. The call, the invitation for you right now is to renew a life of dying. Saying, I'm willing to empty what I am so that God can make me a better I am. That's your call. That's your invitation. The invitation stands for those of you who have not become a Christian yet, not become a disciple yet, not become a follower of Jesus by surrendering to Him through confession and baptism. The invitation for you today is to confess Jesus as Lord, to surrender to Him in baptism, and to live that life of dying. When Jesus spoke to those crowds, it's believed that he was in earshot of people screaming on a hill where they crucified folks. And perhaps he was speaking to the crowds, and over his shoulder they were looking at people who were dying in agony, dying on crosses. And Jesus was saying to them, if you want to follow me, you got to take up your cross. There were many crowd there that probably thought, you want me to do that? Jesus saying, you do whatever is called of you to follow me. Probably not meaning die physically, but for some it would mean dying physically. You want to live, got to die. That's the call of discipleship. But here's the good news. Once you choose to follow Jesus, ask these disciples. They were never the same again. They were completely changed. Their lives for the better. It's one of the things we're studying as we're watching this series, The Chosen. Watching how these disciples started with all of their issues and how they progressed in their relationship with Jesus. And they were changed. They were never the same again. The invitation is yours as we sing this song. If there's a way that we can be helpful to you in your walk with God, if there's a way that we can help you understand better this value of discipleship, please give us the opportunity. Let's stand. Let's sing.